Welcome to Uncommon Purpose with your hosts, Mandy Cooley
and Stephanie Porter.
We believe our uncommon purpose is found at the intersection of our heads and our hearts.
In each episode, we'll share stories, resources, and expertise that will help us build meaningful connections and reflect the love of Christ.
Join us as we have an authentic conversation about the journey of living for the Lord while cultivating our uncommon purpose.
Hey, Mandy.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited that we are in real time picking up a real conversation where we left off last week.
Yes.
And here we are talking about cultivating friendships and what that looks like. Last week, we really talked about vulnerability. And then I feel like, honestly, we were tested. We both kind of had hard weeks. We had a little bit of some interruptions in our life. And we needed our friendship and our friends outside of this friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. In real time, you and I talked about this. It was such a beautiful display in my life of the community that God has blessed us with, from just a beautiful list of friends I could reach out to and ask for prayer, resources like our favorite chiropractor and eye doctor, just folks that could step in and answer questions and lean in on what was really kind of a trying time for us as a family. I don't know that I could have done it without our community. I know with certainty I could not have gotten through it without our community.
Absolutely. And I get to be a part of that and witness the community come around you. And that was so special. I just kept thinking, it is not lost on me that we are talking about cultivating friendships and relationships and hear the faithfulness of God for them to show up for you.
Yeah. And just for him to have provided even those people. You know, I tell this story every once in a while, but back in, I think it was 2012, I was in a study that we refer to as Growth Seekers. It wasn't Growth Seekers then. And if you don't live local to us, Growth Seekers doesn't mean anything to you, but it is a study that I have been a part of for a good long time now, like 13 years. Stephanie had an opportunity to engage in that, and it produced some really sweet, sweet friendships I know in your life too. One of the things we do in that study is we set goals. We set big goals that are tethered to the central tenets of that ministry. Really at the center of that ministry is how to do relationship the way God intended, whether it's friendship or marital relationships or parent relationships, sibling relationships, anything. It's really how did God design us to function in the context of relationships. I remember at that time, I didn't really have many people. I was surrounded by a lot of people, but life felt really messy for me in that season. I was kind of shifting my workspace. I was shifting my social space. Life had kind of come unraveled for me. And I was rebuilding a lot. And my stretch goal at the time was to find 2 to 3 close friends that could be my people. I felt like it really was a stretch for me to imagine that I could have 2 or 3 people who could know me and know about me and know my junk and love me and accept me. I was in a season of not feeling very lovable or very acceptable. It just is never lost on me the way that God just multiplies our heart's desire. At Christmas, I got to stand in a room full of friends and remind them. I get to see those prayers answered. And last week, I got to just kind of tap into just even the surface of what it is to have a community of people who are living for the Lord and committed to good, healthy relationship and friendships and just knowing how to show up and love on each other. It's just never lost on me the way that a stretch goal 13 years ago in the middle of what was a reluctant engagement in a study has produced so much really beautiful fruit in my life.
I love that. It was 13 years ago too. Not to derail us, we'll get back on topic here and we are on topic, but I mean, what I'm about to say is that is so important to remember when we're cultivating relationships that they take time. And the fruit of what you experienced today was because you planted a seed 13 years ago and you watered it and you tended to it, you tilled the soil, you did so much personal growth and work so that you could be a recipient of love and be a transmission of love.
Yeah. And it was time. It was a lot of time that my people are not folks that were sitting with me 13 years ago. They're folks that the Lord has brought into my life through various circumstances. It's just been really sweet. And I'm so grateful I saved that paper, because every time I facilitate one of those groups, we still do stretch goals and I still pull it out and I still get to see it. And I'm just reminded of the goodness of writing down the things that we desire and then revisiting that over and over to be able to see the way that God shows up, just kind of keep track of our prayers.
It is so good. And it's so perfect to hear your testimony, even from a stretch goal, but also like here, you actually had to be vulnerable with God first and tell him what you needed and what you wanted, what you were desiring.
Yeah.
Then you had to be vulnerable with this group of people in a room.
Yes. Those people that were in that group with me at the time. Yeah.
Right. And say, hey, I'm lonely. One of the things too is like, just because we reveal that, it doesn't mean that it's their job to step in.
They weren't the ones that solved that for me. I mean, they were there. They walked with me. They loved me. They accepted me. They didn't reject me in that moment, but they didn't fix it, nor were they the ones ultimately to stay kind of in that space with me. They just loved me in the moment.
Right. Absolutely. What a great picture of health, relational health right there. And so now that leads me to the question of like, so what do you look for when you're trying to cultivate a relationship? And what do you look for in the who, maybe even the how and the what, as we're talking about relationships?
Yeah. I mean, an easy qualifier for me, and I'm only sort of joking when I say this, is somebody who understands that concept that is presented in that group. When I was in college, I was an athletic trainer, and my head athletic trainer, she was a funny lady, Ro. I can't imagine that Ro would be listening to this, but if you are, this is one of the many things I took from my time under her tutelage. But she used to get us to CPR first aid certify every single year. That's not something that expires annually, but it's something both of them in tandem, she had us do. And it was always, you know, in the heat of the summer, we were coming back for 2 days before football season. And we're lamenting the fact that every one of us could teach this class. Why are we having to do it again? She would always say, if I fall over dead in the middle of the football field, I need to feel confident that I'm surrounded by people who can save my life.
Mm.
That is how I feel about my friends, my people, my tribe, my circle, is that I want to know that those life-saving, those life-giving characteristics, those traits, those things that I had to learn because I didn't grow up knowing and understanding them, that the people around me know them too and live them too. So that when I have a moment and I need somebody to save my life, so to speak, to breathe life into me, I'm surrounded by people who know how to do that.
Yeah, I love that. And how would they know how to do that? Are you talking about emotional intelligence, spiritual connection?
Yes, all the above. I think for me, things that I look for, and it's weird because I don't go looking. I guess I should say that. Like, I'm not necessarily like sitting with my head on the pivot, looking around a room, trying to figure out who should my new friends be.
Good. I like that.
I think it comes down to noticing how people show up, how people respond to kind of the tensions or the rubs or the difficulty. I have a hard time with the pretty little bow. I usually say I'm allergic to the bow. I guess I just don't believe it. I shouldn't say I don't like it, but I don't believe that it's very authentic for someone to package every tough situation in a pretty little bow.
Yeah.
Because I think life is hard. Walking out just the circumstances of our days is tricky. And trying to always kind of package it Pollyanna style doesn't communicate a lot of authenticity. It also doesn't communicate a lot of self-awareness. And those two things feel kind of dangerous to me when they're lacking in a relationship.
I know you've heard me say this before, but I love this messy and magnificent. Mm-hmm. Right. I think like we're so drawn. I know I'm drawn to just people being messy and magnificent, like show up authentically, your real self, a little disheveled today, a little bit great tomorrow, whatever, because you can't be great every single day. Right. And that acceptance piece of the good, bad, and ugly, that is so valuable. We have a common friend. She's super special to both of us. Jen, if you're listening, she will say, you know, with her messy hair, and she's like, I've had a terrible day, but nothing that a little lipstick won't fix. And that's like a really great visual for me for messy and magnificent, where a person just comes in and they're like, because I'm a safe person, or they feel like I'm a safe person, or they feel like, you know, or I feel like they're a safe person, I can be vulnerable and messy and magnificent. And so I agree. I'm not walking into every room looking like, hey, who can be my friends? I'm more walking into a room asking myself, hey, how do you feel comfortable about myself? Like, I'm checking in with me. And then I'm like, great. Oh, this person is safe. I can share a little bit. I can invite them in a little bit. So I think that's important. Like, when I'm thinking about cultivating relationships and looking at that emotional intelligence piece.
Yeah. Jenny Allen wrote a book called Finding Your People. I think it's Find Your People. That's the official title, Find Your People. She lists three characteristics, and I feel like kind of summed up into all of what we're talking about are these three things. Someone who's available. Mm-hmm. So you're talking, we're both talking about walking into a room. You know, there has to be, someone has to be in the room. And whether that room is the text thread that we share for you, like, you did such a beautiful job last week. You couldn't be with me, so you just kept sending me videos of you talking to me as if we were sitting in the same room. But it's someone who has availability, not 24/7 respond on the, you know, immediate, but just someone who's accessible. The second thing is humility. I think humility is kind of that all-encompassing term for self-awareness. Self-awareness is a characteristic of emotional intelligence, our ability to see ourselves for who we are, not for who we want ourselves to be. That is, there's a humility in accepting that we are not usually all that we want to be. We're a little bit less and a little bit more, but that self-awareness to be able to recognize that. And then the third thing is transparency, which we talked a little bit last week about transparency and authenticity and vulnerability. It's really that ability to just let me see you, not the mask you sit behind, not the version of you that you want me to see, but let me see you.
Absolutely. Those are really good three bullets. I'm like, I'm taking notes, writing them down for myself. Like, yeah, my husband's a pastor. And when he's looking for leaders, he says, I want you to be fat, you know, and they're the same thing. It has an acronym and I'm like going to butcher it right now. But basically it's, you know, I want you to be flexible, you know, attainable and teachable. Right. Yeah. And so it's like,
I bet it's adaptable. I bet it is adaptable.
I bet it is adaptable.
Flexible, adaptable, teachable.
Teachable.
That feels like a your husband kind of thing to say, to want. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. And so I tell him, don't tell people you want them to be fat. But that's not what he's
certainly
talking about.
Not the female leaders that he's working with. That's not a nice thing to say.
Just to give him a high five. He does deliver that very well and very appropriate.
He's very charming, so I can imagine that he does do that very well. Nonetheless, that sticks clearly.
Yeah,
that sticks.
It sticks. So we do. We want to be accessible, and we want to be humble, and we want to be transparent. And when we do that, not just looking for that in other people, but also being that ourselves. Yeah. And so last week we also talked a little bit, and we want to talk a little bit more in depth about it today, but we talked about the circles of relationship, you know, how they form and the levels and how we need different things and different people at different places. I think it'd be really great if we kind of went into a little bit more explanation about what it's like for us. You know, we've got God at the center and the most.
Yeah.
And then we have that next level of really close friends that 2 a.m. phone calls happen.
Yeah.
Then we've got that next layer of friends that are
kind of like our tribe, like our village.
Yeah. Our tribe, our village. And then we've got the acquaintances, the outskirts.
Yeah. If you are listening and this is an area that you're wanting to personally grow in, I cannot recommend enough the book that I referred to, Jenny Allen's Find Your People. She does such a brilliant job of kind of breaking it down and making it accessible. If you live or operate in a space where you could do this in a group, where you could read with a group, there's also a study guide that goes along with it, where you can really kind of dive in to all of these concepts that we're talking about and more. She does a really good job with it. She breaks that down. And I think it's so interesting when she talks about those circles, because one of the things that she reminds us, I kind of forget about, is that, you know, we're not actually designed to operate at the level of connectivity that we all have accessible to us right now. We are exposed. I mean, if I go on I was just helping my college kid build out his LinkedIn profile the other day, and he had like 5 connections. I'm like, buddy, you know more than 5 people on LinkedIn. And he's like, well, how many do you have? And I go on and it's like, you know, 500 plus is mine. But I don't know 500 people. Like, no, not at the level that we were just discussing in terms of availability and transparency and humility. But I have connected with that many people. Same thing. If you look at, you know, we look at our Instagrams or Facebooks and we look at the number of connections we have. Friends, we are not designed to operate like this.
Yeah, right.
When we go back to how we are designed and what our wiring is creating within us, once upon a time, we used to just live in a town with people and we would encounter our neighbors and we would encounter the people at our schools or
we'd sit on the porch.
Yeah, I miss that. I do miss that pace of life so much. You know, when we think about our village of people, it's more of that concept of, you know, who would we stop and talk to at the grocery store? Who would we, you know, stand in church atriums and have conversations with? Who lives in our neighborhoods? Acquaintances are easy. Our village is honestly a little bit trickier. Each level gets trickier, but it's always just a good reminder for me that I'm not really supposed to have 1,250
besties. Yeah, right. we weren't designed for that. Even as a pastor, there's a lot of research out there like that a pastor can only truly pastor really well, like 500 people, one pastor to 500 people.
Yeah.
And think about that. How can they really pastor 500 people? That's crazy, right? To think about it. So how could we expect ourselves to be pastoring? Because in relationship, that is one of our spiritual gifts that we're giving is sitting and listening and walking and loving. So I think it's good for us to start recognizing like, okay, these people are in this level. I have a dear friend, her name's Sarah Beckman. She wrote a book called Alongside, and she talks about coming alongside people in trials. And she lists it out as tiers. You have a tier one friend, a tier two friend, and a tier three. So she's like, when someone goes into crisis, you have to figure out what level am I? Should I go bring them a meal? Do I send them a gift card? Do I check on them by text? And that was so helpful to figure out where my responsibility lied in the relationship when someone goes in crisis. I love this, these circles and knowing, and I do think our village even has a couple of levels inside of it. We have our inner people that we'd call in the middle of the night, and then we've got a little bit of a bigger village. And you were referring to grow seekers, and I'm like, yes, I have a village from grow seekers. I call them my grow seeker girls, and I need them. I love them. I count on them. Then outside of them, there's another level of my village and so on until I get out into my acquaintances. So I don't know how you separate that out, Mandy. Like, how do you kind of live out your circles?
I don't know that I've ever gotten really technical about it. I think what has always felt important to me is to know kind of that inner circle. Like, who can I call at 2 in the morning? Then who are my acquaintances? I'm an extroverted person. I love to meet new people. I actually just met a new pastor at our campus just this past week. It was his first week. And then I met his wife at service on the weekend. And he described me to her. He's like, oh, she's just like so-and-so. Someone that they, you know, mutual friend of theirs. And he said, you know, upbeat and energetic and exciting and all this energy she brings into a room. And I'm like, ooh, I've talked to you one time. And that is a lot of pressure for me to show up like that every time we meet. But that is generally how I come into a room. What I think I've done probably the majority of my work on is recognizing where the reciprocal nature of the relationship is, not necessarily what I need from them or what they need from me, but like, where is their just balance in being able to show up and have it be a mutual relationship? I definitely have pockets of friends, you know, a dear friend from college that I have stayed in super close relationship with. We meet up multiple times each year, which is just sweet and precious to me. And then lots of friends from different spaces in my life. But really, it's kind of that group that I cobbled together last week when I was in, you know, 911 emergency prayer request needed mode, that I just know there's reciprocal nature friendship that I would do for them exactly what they were willing to do and show up for me. I don't know that I break down my village as much as I am just always very attentive to, I don't want to expect from someone what they don't expect from me, and kind of vice versa. I'd like for it to be mutual.
I think that's great. And that gives such healthiness to the relationship and releases freedom, like, from expectations. Because expectations, especially unspoken expectation in any relationship, is the death of a relationship.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, any relationship, really.
Yes. Yes. Any relationship gets me into trouble. It doesn't matter if it's your kids, your spouse, your friend, even your medical provider. If you have an expectation that is unspoken, you're in trouble. I think what's really important is when you start talking about available and humble and transparent, now we're kind of getting into like the attributes and the characteristics of what we're looking for in friendships and in people. What is important to you specifically? Specifically, like you were saying, you want it to be reciprocal. What kind of characteristic makes a good friend? Not just for you, but like when you're general, helping someone. Yeah.
Somebody who loves Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's my prayer for my boys, that they will find their way to friends who also love the Lord. I think the world sends us enough messy messages. I think it's good to have people around us that help us live like Jesus asks us to. Yeah. So that feels really important. For me personally, you know, I don't really think that I'm like a funny haha kind of person, but I really value people who are super funny. I kind of lean a little more serious, I think. And so for friends who have really great senses of humor, I'm always very grateful for someone who is just fun and easygoing. And I think this is an intangible, but someone that I can physically feel at ease around.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I know that there are definitely people, I have experienced people that by no intentional effort on their part, it's not like a mean girl kind of thing. It's just I feel tense around them. I look for someone that just kind of feels comfortable, who feels like I can just sit and take a breath in front of. I teased last week that I would share one of my vulnerable making friends moments. When my husband deployed the last time, it was a silly thing, but there were some things in my house that I really wanted to find comfort around. I wanted to kind of clean up a couple of things around my house, not physically clean up, kind of create new cozy spaces in my home. And I am not an interior designer. I'm not a decorator. I'm not, so I don't have an eye for things. I just knew what wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I had recently been at a friend's home and it was beautiful and comfortable. And she is beautiful and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, sort of just sitting and trying to calculate how can I do this? What can I do? Where should I put things? I really felt like the Holy Spirit was like, just ask her. It took me a couple of days, but I took this big deep breath and I went to this person that I didn't really know very well at the time. And I just said to her, I'm like, can you make my house look like an adult lives here? And she was so kind and so not judgmental. And it really was initially just sort of she was going to come in and kind of look at a couple of things, but it became this project that we ended up spending a ton of time together, got to know each other really well. And she is just one of my nearest and dearest girlfriends because she literally came in and saw the dirt in my life. You know, like the two dogs and the dog hair that spins around because they run and wrestle all the time. And she got behind my refrigerator and saw all the things, right? The mess. And so it was a super, you know, I'm like, I don't know, it was 5 years ago. I was in my mid 40s.
Yeah.
It feels really vulnerable to look at someone and say, I don't know how to pick out my own curtains. She just so kindly and warmly said, I would love to do that. And she did. She meant it. Out of that was birthed just this really sweet friendship. I'm so grateful that I listened when I heard that little nudge to just ask her. Because so often I would have sort of pridefully said, I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll figure it out on my own. I'll do this by myself. Like we said last week, we're not intended to do life on our own.
Yeah.
Even that includes curtains.
Okay. So I just have to say this really quick. I'm like, you are encapsulating what does it take to cultivate a friendship and a relationship? And number one thing, it takes risk.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Wow. What a beautiful example of risk, because right there, she was available, but you had to be humble. Mm-hmm. And then you were also transparent.
Yeah.
Then that allowed her to become humble and transparent. And so you guys shared all these different characteristics at different moments, at different times, yeah, that took her from an acquaintance to your inner circle.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm like, wow, taking a risk, it really is the biggest challenge. I think you said I had to take a deep breath. And I was like, yeah. Oh yeah, because you were fixing to take one of the biggest risks of your life. It probably felt like.
It really did. Because I felt like I might have been rejected.
Uh-huh.
I don't sign up for rejection. I don't know how many people listening do, but I do not sign up for rejection. And so that feels to me like what that could have been. That could have been a moment of, are you kidding? How do you not know how to do this?
Right. Fear of rejection and fear of judgment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And instead you were received with love and acceptance and
100%
trustworthiness. And
yep.
I mean, and just that is really what allowed the barriers and the walls to come down. So wonderful. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's so good. I love that you talked about you want friends that love Jesus, because we left to ourselves, we will pick what the flesh wants from time to time. And I know like I need a friend who's going to point me back to Jesus every time. Yeah. I've gone through, I kind of mentioned like one of the hardest years of my life, and I had to really call on my people, my tribe, my village. Mm-hmm. I had to share my thinking.
Yeah.
Like I'm here and my thinking wasn't always healthy, right? Mm-hmm. My thinking was pain. My thinking was out of rejection. I needed my people to help hold me accountable, not by one telling me what to do, but by accepting and loving me, but being safe enough that I could see the fruit in their lives. Mm-hmm. And then they could point me back to Jesus. So I think I agree 100%. That's so important.
You know, friends very easily come together to share opinions. Mm. And to share the things we love or the things we don't like, you know, like here's my, oh, look, I tried this new whatever. You should try it. But to really think about what we think about, mm-hmm, left to our own devices, our minds are not usually super good to us. We have to really, and there's a reason that we are commanded to take every thought captive, to be bold enough to take out of your head and speak something that may not be true. That's just a really healthy way of living. Mm-hmm. But to have the people in our lives that can do that and then redirect us back to truth that we will listen to. There's plenty of people who will redirect me to somebody's truth.
Yeah.
We need to do that. And we just need to be in the practice of sharing what we're thinking.
I think that's so good. And in order to do that, we've got to work on listening and not interrupting and not judging and being curious and asking questions and sometimes letting somebody, you know, I'm such a verbal processor. Sometimes I just got to say it out loud. I'll hold myself accountable before I even finish my sentence. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I need that friend that's going to sit and just let me walk through that. And the roller coaster of, oh, I want to hide behind the wall. Okay, I have to tear the wall down. I don't know how to tear the wall down. I don't want to tear the wall down, right? All of it.
And I'm so grateful in that same vein for those who will let me just get all of it out and not try to redirect it at every little step of the way. Yeah. Like, I know that there have been times that I have come to you and said, I'm about to just, this is unfiltered and unprocessed, and this is not my final version. I don't want to do that with very many people. Yeah. I don't want the unfiltered, unprocessed, because I wish I didn't. And it is better than it used to be, but I still slide into shame more readily than I slide into guilt. Mm-hmm. Shame being I'm bad, guilt being that was bad. When I'm in the processing part of life with a friend, I don't need help jumping on the shame slide because I'll go there myself quickly enough. I am so grateful for friends who let me just get it all out of my system and know the character of who I am, that I'm not going to stay there. I think that's important too when you're picking friends, right? Like one of the questions you were tossing around is like what to look for. I think there is something about one's ability to keep perspective and keep big picture in mind and not be so quick to offer correction or redirection, but just to sit in acceptance and let it play out. A mentor to both of us often says, I don't need to be someone else's Holy Spirit. You know, when we find ourselves in the place of wanting to correct someone else, oftentimes, more often than not, that really is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to do that, not ours. I am grateful for friends who know that they are not my Holy Spirit, but that they are a holy gift.
What a treasure. You know, and I think that goes back and circles back around with reciprocal relationships. When we're cultivating relationship, there is a level of, okay, am I the only one working for the relationship, chasing the relationship, desiring the relationship? Am I the only one that listens? You know, there's that flip-flop. Is it one-sided or is it balanced? Being a holy gift to a friend is showing up balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to be clear, for those of you who are thinking as you're listening, like this is something that you want to cultivate in your own life. Please know we're not suggesting that needs to be balanced minute by minute within a conversation or within an encounter. This is like a holistic balance, right? Because there are moments, Stephanie, that you show up for me and it's all me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are moments that I show up for you and it is all you. And neither of us are sitting with a timer, keeping track of the minutes. It's the natural volley between us. It feels equal. So we don't have to keep track.
I think what's really sweet is sometimes when I call and it's all me and you've listened so well, I can't wait to the next time where I get to show up the way you showed up for me. I'm like, oh, I am so excited. I get to love her back. Last week, Mandy mentioned how I sent videos. I was like, okay, so I can't sit with you in these moments. And so I sent these funny videos. I mean, even to the like where I was serious and then I was giving affirmations to where I was praying, then to talking about my bad hair day.
Yeah. You know? Because on a video, we get to see our hair when we're doing video conferencing with each other.
And you know, no one really likes staring at themselves, you know? So here I am making this video. But my point was, is like, that was all for you, but it was very balanced. I love that you clarify, like, it's not minute for minute. It's not like, oh, I did it and now it's your turn.
Right.
It's like, because the love tank is so full from you, then my love, then I can give away what you've given me, right? And because of what God's given me. And so it just overflows and then we replenish it and it overflows.
That is something I had to really learn. I mean, that was not a natural, that's a Enneagram 2 tragic flaw. This, I will do for you so that you will do for me kind of thing. Man, when I realized I was doing that, talk about taking a ride on the shame slide. That was an ugly one. But I learned what that meant to just give because, to love because, with no strings attached, with no desire on the other end. You know, what we've been talking around too is not just who we're looking for, but who we are in friendships. And so this is not a plug for the Enneagram, but the Enneagram really did teach me a lot about the way that I show up for other people. I think it's first and foremost a tool for self-examination, not for other identification. And so it was so good for me to begin to recognize the way that I was showing up for other people and how not healthy it was and how not connecting it was. So if you are listening and you are in a place where some of this is hard for you, just know we've both been there. It requires really some uncomfortable pruning to get to a place where we learn how to show up well for other people, to have that healthy inner circle village dynamic of people around us.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things I heard you saying right there was you really learned how to love unconditionally.
Yeah.
In our relationships, as we're cultivating friendships, you know, as we wrap up here, I think that's really beautiful to think about. Okay, at the basis, at the foundation, we want unconditional love. We want to give it and we want to receive it. So what a sweet conversation today. So as we wrap up, let's ask our questions. So what do you need today, Mandy?
You know, I know we're going to do this every time. This one, I was not. I'm like, I don't know what I need. Also an Enneagram 2 problem. If you're out there, solidarity. When you don't know what you need, That is a regular problem, at least for me. What I think in terms of a practice, I think that I need documentation of the things I'm praying for. I don't do a great job of journaling, but when I do, I'm always so grateful to stumble upon what I have taken the time to slow down and track. And so I think that's probably what I need right now, is just a season of slowing and documenting so that I can continue to see the way that God is fulfilling his promise.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's
what so about good. You?
Two things. One, I'm still new here in my Texas community, even though I'm kind of back home in my roots. I'm in a new community and I'm still cultivating friendships and relationships. So I guess really what I need is to take a risk and take some risks and really get out there and grow these relationships, the ones that have piqued my heart. Like I can, like there's a couple of women that I'm like, I'd really like to spend more time with them.
May they be fruitful. May those be fruitful conversations, friend. Good. Good. I feel like I kind of answered my where I see God in this conversation at the very beginning when I was sort of celebrating the ways that God has just blessed me with beautiful friends. But how about you? Where have you seen the Lord either in this conversation or just on this topic?
Okay. You know what? It goes with number one of my need, that I need to take a risk. And where I saw God is that when we take risks, they generally end up not the way we think that they're going to. And I see his faithfulness, and when he pushes and he nudges and he says, hey, go do this, he goes before us.
Yeah.
And then it's going to end better than I think. I've got some risks I've got to take with some relationships that I need to mend. And then also some that I want to cultivate. So I've got some big risks. And so where I see God is he's like, I'm nudging you and it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. Because if it's a nudge from him, you can trust that it is for your good.
Yeah.
I love
that. So that'll be fun to see what he does there.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, okay. Hey, thanks for having this beautiful conversation today and being so vulnerable and sharing your heart with us. And we will talk again next week.
Yeah. All right, friends. Until next time.
Bye, y'all.
We've loved having this conversation with you, and we are excited for the next one. Make sure to subscribe to Uncommon Purpose wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. Also, you can connect with us on social media. We would love to hear your thoughts, your stories, and your experiences. Your journey is a part of this larger tapestry we're weaving together. Until next time, friends.